In the name of Jesus, amen. Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the Hellenistic philosophers of the Apostle Paul's day, the pinnacle of human experience, of human existence and achievement, the pinnacle was neither faith, nor hope, nor love, and the greatest of these, of course, is love, asserts the apostle. But to the philosophers of Paul's day, no, love was not the pinnacle of all things. According to the period's most respected Greco-Roman voices, the greatest of these was instead knowledge. The goal of the truly ascendant human person was not love, but was instead enlightenment. How narcissistic, how self-congratulatory and self-aggrandizing such a philosophy proved to be, more often than not, in practice, for those in the first century who made this philosophy their own philosophy. Therefore, Paul writes in our text for this day of the pursuit of that which we all have in common. We know that we all have knowledge, says he. But the Hellenists took the pursuit of knowledge to a most unfortunate end. If pursued for these reasons, writes the apostle, knowledge serves only to puff up. Love, however, love builds up. To be sure, adds the apostle, if anyone imagines with a misguided Hellenistic pursuit of knowledge that he has actually accomplished something, the reality is that he does not yet really know as he ought to know, states Paul. His pursuits, asserts the apostle, are woefully without salutary effect of any real kind, any meaningful kind. Invariably, asserts Paul, the result of pursuit of such an end is bankrupt indeed. But if anyone loves God, adds Paul, if anyone loves he who is love, and who loved us first, that person shows himself or herself to be touched by, transformed, united to God in his person, in his very nature. The one who loves shows that what truly is excellent has actually happened to him, happened in that person's life. For the purpose of each and every human person's existence, the proper, genuinely fulfilling goal of every human pursuit in this world is not to know as no one else has ever known, but to be known by God. For in blessed union with the one who declares, I know you, I have called you by name, you are mine, does one become everything that our God would have us to be? Does one thus become the image and reflection of the one who loved us first? Therefore, as to the eating of food offered to idols, writes the apostle, how we should respond in the stead of the one who loved us first, how we should respond to any issue that scandalizes and or misleads a brother or a sister is clear. We know that an idol has no real existence. There is no one but God. There is no God but the one. In other words, we know that the question of food purportedly sacrificed to a God who is nothing more than a figment of the human imagination is no matter of any real enduring consequence. Such food offered to a man-made fiction is in reality no different than any other food. For although there may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom all things are and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things are and through whom we exist. Therefore, rightly understood, the Christian is, in principle, at least, free. Free to eat, free not to eat. It does not matter. However, cautions Paul, not all possess this knowledge, that is, not all in their walk of faith have a full understanding of these things. Misunderstanding still clings to us all, causing some to think or to view these and other matters in an unfortunate, even harmful light. So some, warns the apostle through former association with idols, eat, and when they do so, view such food as really offered to an idol. In other words, to them, to eat is, by definition, to affirm the existence and to seek the favor of the God to whom such sacrifice is given. And so their conscience being weak is defiled when either they or another brother or sister eats. Food will not commend us to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat, and no better off if we do. But take care, warns Paul, that this freedom of ours and this right of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if anyone sees you, who have knowledge, eating in an idol's temple, will he not be encouraged if his conscience is weak? That is, if his understanding of what he is seeing is unfortunate, to eat the same food offered to idols, that is to say, to see such idols as actual deities to be honored, whose favor must be sought. And so by your knowledge, in the exercise of your so-called freedom, adds the apostle, this weak person is destroyed, the brother for whom Christ died. Thus, sinning against your brothers and sisters and wounding their conscience when it is weak, you sin not just against your brother, but against Christ himself. This, urges Paul, must never be. Therefore, if food, and in our day, if any other matter of Christian freedom, makes my brother or sister stumble, I will in no way eat. That is, I will refrain even when I am otherwise free, lest I make my brother or sister stumble. For the preeminent is that which God is. The preeminent is that which God does for us and for our salvation. Faith, hope, and love abide these three, but the greatest of these is the love of the one who loved us first. Therefore, concludes the apostle, let all that you do be done in his love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.